Okay, good evening. So tonight's topic I want to speak about is called Some Halachos of Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach tends to be the longest day of the year. Now by that I mean, and this is not my own shtickle Torah, but you know, if someone makes a wedding in the middle of March, you say, are they crazy? They're making a wedding Erev Pesach. My kids are walking around the house with cookies for the last 3 weeks. Why? You can't leave with like the kitchen with cookies. It's Erev Pesach. It's technically not Erev Pesach, right? Erev Pesach is only what will be this Monday, is the only day that's Erev Pesach. But we speak about Erev Pesach in a broader sense. That's generally. Tonight we're going to speak about Erev Pesach in the more narrow sense, in the sense of Erev Pesach. And there are a few halachos that appear in Shulchan Aruch about this day of Erev Pesach. It tends to be, I find it to be the busiest day of the year, effectively. So let's try to go through some of the things about Erev Pesach. So point one that I want to discuss tonight is melacha. Is, are you allowed to do work on Erev Pesach? So the Mishnah tells us in the fourth parak of Pesachim, this parak is called Makom Shenahagu, that there are some places that the practice is that they do work, some places that the practice is that they don't do work. That's what the Mishnah says. It's preferred not to do work, according to the halacha, on Erev Pesach, but the practice has developed, and we'll talk about this in a few more minutes, that really people do work on Erev Pesach. But, again, how many buts can you have in one sentence? But when we speak about doing work on Erev Pesach, and that's really permitted, and that depends on Minhag, that's only Erev Pesach until Chatzos. Once Chatzos, once midday comes in, midday now is 1:01 or something, once midday comes in, so then you're really not allowed to do work on Erev Pesach, according to the halacha. Once Chatzos of Erev Pesach comes in, so then it becomes like Chol HaMoed. The halacha of Erev Pesach after midday is the same halacha as Chol HaMoed, which really means that technically we're not allowed to do work on Chol HaMoed also, right? And Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you can't do work. Now this comes up, this is very important for a few things. Unfortunately, there's someone in the community who's going to be sitting Shiva, right? So when do you get up from Shiva? Usually on an Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yontiv. So usually you get up with enough time to prepare for Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's it. No, you're not allowed to get up for Shiva earlier than that. You get up with enough time to get ready. That's it. Erev Pesach is Yom Tov. Erev Pesach is Chol HaMoed. Therefore, Erev Pesach, and by that I mean Erev Pesach after Chatzos, because it has a status of Chol HaMoed, so therefore you get up from Shiva then already. At Chatzos, it's over. Nothing to talk about. Now, the halacha takes Erev Pesach after Chatzos very seriously. It says like this, Ha'osa malacha Erev Pesach mechatzos olamayla, a person who works Erev Pesach after midday, Hayu mishamtin oso. You know what that means? What's Hayu mishamtin oso mean? They put you in chayrim. Now, the word chayrim is an interesting word. Chayrim, what's the gematria of chayrim? 248. Anyone recognize 248? There are 248 limbs in your body, no? Chayrim is a very nice rabbinic way of saying you should drop dead. It's a curse. It's an imprecation, to use Harry Potter language or something like that. No? Basically, what we are telling you is that if you do work Erev Pesach after Chatzos, right, you get put into some sort of chayrim. Shamta. Vafilu lasos bechinam is usur. Even if I'm going to say, oh, I'm not getting paid, I want to work for free, I can't do work Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And some say you can't do work based with a goy doing the work for you. Others say it's permitted if you do work through a goy. V'chein haminog, and the practice is that we are make on malacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos with a goy. So now, let's go slowly.
What do they consider the definition of work?
Okay, so we'll have to talk about that in a minute. So, the two opinions here in Shulchan Aruch as to whether we permit having a non-Jew work for me on Erev Pesach after Chatzos is really the question as to whether Erev Pesach after Chatzos is exactly the same as Chol HaMoed, or is it a little bit more lenient than Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, there's a prohibition of Amira L'Nachri. We forget about this sometimes. I think there was someone that entered in the Shul Purim Digital Shorts last year, a video about Amir al-Nakhri and trying to figure out what you're saying. What was it called? There's based on... No one has any idea what I'm talking about. Neither do I. That's fine. But the fact is, there's a prohibition that on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, I can't do malacha, and a guy can't do malacha for me also. That applies to Chol HaMoed as well. Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Aleph. That on Chol HaMoed, a guy can't do work for me. There is two opinions here in Shulchan Aruch, whether Erev Pesach after Chatzos is exactly the same as Chol HaMoed, which means a guy can't do the work for me, or do we say, no, it's not exactly the same as Chol HaMoed, it's a little bit more lenient. Why would it be more lenient? It would be more lenient if we assume the following. Work on Chol HaMoed. Big Machlekes HaRishonim. Is it an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan? No? Tosis in Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches, Tosis points out that he thinks that work on Chol HaMoed is a D'Oraisa, but it's a funny type of D'Oraisa. It's called Misorah HaKosav LaChachamim. That God let the rabbis make rules. Oh boy, this is amazing power. This is like the best thing ever, no? Right? It's worth being a rabbi just for this one. Misorah HaKosav LaChachamim. Hashem says, you know what, rabbis? You get to define the rules. And that, you have to say something like this, because think about it. One of the big categories of labor that we put in a Chol HaMoed is called Dover HaAved. I'll lose money. Doesn't that sound like Reform Judaism to you? Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go to work, but I'm going to lose money if I don't. Rebbeinu D'Kulei Alma, lose your job, right? Well, what do you mean, Dover HaAved is permitted? The answer is, Misaro HaKosov LaChachamim. The answer is that Hashem says, you know what, rabbis? We want you to define the categories of labor. Just to say it in a slightly sharper way, the Sefer Keren Ora points out right on the first page of Moed Katan, Moed Katan is all about Chol HaMoed, that there's a fundamental mitzvah in Chol HaMoed called Simchas Yontif. That's the mitzvah. I'm supposed to enjoy Yontif. Chazal recognize that, you know what, in most cases, going to work takes away your enjoyment of Yontif. Right? Most of us don't enjoy our work that much, right, that it enhances our Simchas Yontif by going to work. But when it's Dover HaAved, when not going to work means I'm going to be losing money, so then not going to work will shter, will disturb my Simchas Yontif, no? So that's why Chazal say, oh, Dover HaAved is permitted. Okay, that's the rule of regular Chol HaMoed. Is Erev Pesach exactly the same as Chol HaMoed or not? So that's the two opinions here in Shulchan Aruch. The minhag is, the Ramah tells us, that we are lenient. In other words, even though on Chol HaMoed we do not permit malacha through a non-Jew, on Erev Pesach we do. So far, so good. Now, why would Erev Pesach after Chatzos be more lenient than Chol HaMoed? So the reason is because malacha on Chol HaMoed, like we said before, according to the mainstream opinion, Tosfos, right? The Rabbah might disagree, but according to Tosfos, malacha on Chol HaMoed is d'oraisa. Malacha on Erev Pesach. Why don't they do malacha Erev Pesach after Chatzos? So there are two reasons that are given, no? There's Rashi's reason and Tosfos' reason. Who remembers? Anyone? I remember, so I'll tell you. Okay? I remember just because I looked it up half an hour ago and I prepared for this year. So the fact is like this. Rashi says, you know why you can't do malacha Erev Pesach after Chatzos? Because Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you're supposed to be doing important stuff. You're supposed to be preparing for the Seder, which means, Rashi says, you're supposed to be baking your matzah. Right. This, by the way, was standard practice in Ashkenazi Jewry. If you look in Yisrael Toshma's Minhag Ashkenaz HaKadmon, right, the first section he has about Pesach is the Minhag in Ashkenaz from Rashi and the Bali HaTosfos was, you know, when they baked matzah Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Right. Now, in part, this is because of what we discussed in the Shir a few weeks ago, matzah used to be soft.
Yeah.
And soft matzah, right, if it's old, becomes moldy, yucky, disgusting matzah. So you needed fresh matzah for the Seder. So the fresher, the better. How to have matzah that's really fresh for the Seder? Bake it or Pesach in the afternoon, no? And that was the minhag of the Bali HaTosfos. So much so that the Bali HaTosfos have a very extensive literature about what do I do when Erev Pesach is Shabbos. Now I'm in trouble. I can't bake matzah Erev Pesach in the afternoon. It's Shabbos, no? So what do I do? So you know what Rashi did? Rashi and the students, Rebbeinu D'Kulei Alma, they'd come home from shul, and they'd bake matzah Seder night. They get home from shul after saying challah, by the way. They get home from shul and they would bake their matzah. Oh my gosh. Right? And then when would they start their... It wouldn't take that long, less than 18 minutes. Huh? It doesn't add that much time. But the reality is, the Balat Rashi holds that you bake matzah Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So Zokt Rashi, that's why I can't do malacha. Because if I would do work Erev Pesach in the afternoon, I might not prepare for Pesach properly, which means bake matzah. Interesting. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says, no. The reason why you don't do work Erev Pesach in the afternoon is not because of baking matzah. By the time of Tosfos, it could be, or Tosfos felt that maybe baking matzah Erev Pesach in the afternoon wasn't an absolute requirement. Maybe we'll speak about that briefly. Tosfos says that the reason why we don't do work Erev Pesach after Chatzos is because that was the time that they would shech the Karban Pesach. And the halacha is, Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi, the halacha is that when a person shechted a Karban, right, if a Karban would be brought for me on any day, so that day would become a yontif for me. And I'm not allowed to do malacha on that day. It becomes like a cholam away. I have to wear my fancy yontif clothing. I have to have nice meals. It's a yontif when I'm bringing a Karban. So because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Taisa says, there was a dinda oraisa of a yontiv on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, which is what when they shechted the Karban Pesach, because they're all rejoicing. So it's a darvish of a minyan. It was an enactment of Chazal that won't be bottled. Taisa says, it's on daf nun amir aleph in Pesachim. So Taisa says, it's a darvish of a minyan, and therefore it's not going to be bottled, and therefore, Erev Pesach is a yontiv because they used to bring the Karban Pesach. That's Tosfos' opinion. Now, it could be that Tosfos did not give Rashi's opinion, because Rashi holds, and this is quoted in all the Svarim of Rashi's students, Rashi holds that you can only bake matzah Erev Pesach in the afternoon. That's the only possible time you can bake matzah. There's no other time that matzah is possible. That's Rashi Shita. So much so that according to Rashi, matzah that was baked beforehand would be pasul. Wow. Tosfos did not want to go so far. Tosfos said that if you bake matzah the way we do it, by the way, the matzah we get now, you're lucky if it was baked on Chanukah. You're lucky. Right? Again, it doesn't go bad. This stuff has a half-life of like some radioactive, it's like 9 million years of a half-life. It's Meridik. Right? It can last forever. But the fact is, Tosfos holds that you can, and that's why Tosfos never had a problem about when do you bake matzah when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, because bake matzah 2 days earlier. Rashi, however, holds on the fundamental level that there is no such thing as matzah at a time that it can't be chametz. Erev Pesach in the afternoon, there's a prohibition of chametz. No? Lo tishkat al chametz dam zivchi. I can't shech the Karban Pesach when I have chametz. It's an Isser chametz Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Oh, once it's an Isser chametz, then I can make matzah. Because matzah and chametz is together. But right now, Rashi says, I can't make matzah because there's no prohibition of chametz right now. I had pizza for supper. There's no prohibition of chametz. That's the point that Rashi holds. Chametz and matzah, I once gave a shiur about this. I think this is the idea of Torah Umada to a certain extent. Meaning to say, Rashi holds you can only have the full kedusha of matzah if there's a possibility for an Isser Chametz. You can't attain Kedusha unless you're entering a risk on a certain level. That's Shitas Rashi. Tosfos holds no. Right? Tosfos holds I can make my matzah weeks and weeks and weeks before. And that's why for Tosfos, Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, not a problem.
So
for us, back to business, right? You're not allowed to do Malacha Erev Pesach in the afternoon after Chatzos. Rashi says because I should be baking matzah then. Tosfos says because they used to bring a Karban Pesach at that time.
So if Tosfos says that it's okay to bake matzah several weeks in advance, and they used to use soft matzah, and we said that it doesn't keep, and then...
So what did they do? So obviously it couldn't be several weeks in advance, but it could be longer in advance. It wouldn't have to be exactly fresh. The minhag of many in the time of the Rishonim, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, is that they bake fresh matzah for every day of Yontif, no? Because if the matzah is soft... By the way, after I gave the shiur, like 2 weeks ago, about the soft matzah, I noticed in the latest edition, the latest issue of the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, there's an article by Dr. Ari Zavatovsky about soft matzah. I came out very in favor of soft matzah. He doesn't like it. He says that he went to a few bakeries, he knows that the soft matzah is really chometz. It's pretty bad. Okay, what can we do? Fine. Now, what is considered malacha? So I'm not allowed to do malacha Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The same as I can't do malacha on Chol HaMoed. Obviously, right? It might be more make on the Chol HaMoed or the same as Chol HaMoed. Obviously, if it's a situation, I'm allowed to go to work on Chol HaMoed, so I'm allowed to work Erev Pesach after Chatzos also. But in a situation that I can't go to work on Chol HaMoed, right? My boss won't fire me, there are no regular customers that if they don't show up, will never return, etc. So in the situation I can't go to work on Chol HaMoed, I can't work Erev Pesach after Chatzos, that's my Ikar Hadin. Again, Rashi has his reason, Tosus has his reason. What is called malacha? So the basic answer is anything that you can't do on Chol HaMoed is malacha. No? Not so complicated. But there might be a difference. The tour, where is the tour? Here, the bottom of this first page. Actually, here. Let me just first quote a Aruch HaShulchan for you, then we'll do the tour. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Ad Chatzos Toloi B'Minhag, doing work on Erev Pesach until Chatzos depends on the Minhag, like we wrote, and the Ramah writes that our places, our Makom Shenagu Shalola Asos, in our communities, the Ramah says, are communities that we don't do work on Erev Pesach, meaning even Erev Pesach in the morning. The Minhag in Kazmiraz, which was Krakow, wherever the Ramah lived, that they would not do Malacha Erev Pesach even in the morning, right? But Dafka Malachos Gemuros, only full-fledged Malachos, other Malachos are, there's not even a Minhag, we'll talk about that in a minute. The Levush writes, She'ef Shabim Komo Nahagu Shalol Lassos Malacha, Avabahabim Mekomos No Ra'isi, She'ose Malacha Ad Chatzos. So the Ramah says that the practice is that we don't do Malacha, even in the morning of Erev Pesach. After Chatzos Erev Pesach, it's Aser, according to the actual Halacha. The morning is a Minhag. And the Minhag is that we don't do it according to the Malacha. The Levush says, no. In the communities that he saw, the Levush was rabbi in Frankfurt, right? Good. That's my point to you, sorry. But the Levush is rabbi in Frankfurt, so he says that the minig is that they do malacha in the places that he saw. And the Gedolei Achronim quote this Levush. V'chein hu ata she'osa malacha b'chol makom. And today, everywhere, they do malacha in the morning. And then he writes an interesting line. V'halavai she'yifsiku milasos malacha b'chatzos. Halavai, they should stop doing work at chatzos. The Aruch HaShulchan already notes that people are working a full day Erev Pesach, no? It happens that, like Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, your Shabbos isn't Shabbos if you don't have Erev Shabbos. And your Pesach isn't Pesach if you don't have Erev Pesach. If you're rushing into, if you go to work, even if you go to work beheter, let's say it's Dover HaAveg, you go to work, but you're rushing home late in the afternoon, and then you put the Seder, it's not the same Seder. If you have an opportunity, that's, again, I don't like Exodus and going away to hotels, but one of the advantages of going away to a hotel, in all seriousness, is that you have an Erev Pesach. Right? You're not a crazy meshugana going in. And there is something about, if you have an Erev Yontiv in the proper way, then your Seder will certainly be enhanced. The Aruch HaShulchan already notes, halavai, that people should stop doing work at Chatzos. Fine. Let's learn the Torah together. Torah quotes, because of Avi HaEzri. The Torah is quoting from the Rav Yah, no? Rav Yah died in the year 1180. We don't know when he was born, because, we don't know when anyone was born, right? Okay, you know my lines already. Because of Avi HaEzri, Davka She'osa Malacha Lehistaker. The only prohibition is to do work that you'll get paid for. Avo Metaken Hu Kelov L'Shabbos V'Yontiv. But I'm allowed to fix my suit. For Shabbos, for Yontiv. Now, it's Erev Pesach, in the afternoon even. I can't earn money, but I'm allowed to fix my clothing. And also, if I write books, if I'm writing Sferm to learn, that's permitted all day. That's what it says in the Rav Yah. Now, there is a big machlokas how to understand this Rav Yah. Big machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Beis follows the approach that what the Rav Yah is saying, how come the Rav Yah says I'm allowed to fix my suit Erev Pesach in the afternoon?
Because he might need it.
So We could say it that way, because I might need my suit. Like, to go into Yantar without your suit, that's very bad. I remember one year, actually, I went with my parents for Pesach. I went to Toronto, no? And it happens that we were very lucky that our suitcases ended up being sent to Vancouver instead of to Toronto. Big Spurs. So,
oh my goodness.
So I couldn't care less. Like, it couldn't bother me. My mother was like going nuts. Like all of our Yantar outfits, it was a very big deal. And then I realized that like there's a slight halachic issue because the airline said they deliver the stuff to us, right, when it came. So I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, the halacha is that stuff that comes from outside the tchum you can't get benefit from.
Uh-oh.
So this is like what I was very nervous about. That I can't get benefit because if my suit's coming back from the plane in Vancouver and being flown to Toronto. And so that was the shayla. What happens that the Rav in Toronto at that time, Rabbi Kersner, he was the Rav of Clanton Park. That's where my cousins daven. So I spoke to him on the phone. He had no idea who I was. I didn't know who he was at the time, whatever it was. So he said, and I think he was right on a certain level, that when we speak about not getting kanoa, that means I can't eat stuff. The Mishnah and Beitzah says I can't eat stuff that comes out of the Tchum. That's called Hana'ah. Wearing might not be called Hana'ah, point one. Now, there's another prohibition that something comes outside the Tchum only has four amos. But he said, since the Toronto Eruv is kosher, so the whole city is like four amos, so therefore you can wear your suit around the city. That was his cheshbon. I found later on that some of the Acharinim say this. And then once, a few years ago, I was speaking about the shadow with Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Sabalovsky, so they told me that YU once flew them out to do a kolal or something, or a kolal elyon lecture in St. Louis, and their suitcases also didn't make it to St. Louis. It's like a skula. So they thought about this idea also, about relying on the Eruv, and they went back and forth, and they called, I think, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, and he felt that it was reliable. So this cheshbon is not a bad cheshbon to wear the suit inside the Eruv if you assume that the Eruv is kosher. What do you hold about that? No idea. Okay, fine. I liked it. So the Rav Yah says that I'm not allowed to do malacha Erev Pesach after Chatzos, but I'm allowed to fix my suit. Why am I allowed to fix my suit? So you're saying because you have to wear your suit on Yom Tov. Okay, that's a possibility, but that itself shouldn't be mati or anything. I have to wear my suit. So the Beis Yosef takes the approach that what the Rav Yah means is that mitakein kelev, because it's not a malacha gemura. I can't make a suit. I can't sit at my sewing, I wouldn't know how, but I can't sit at my sewing machine and weave a suit. But mitakein kelev means a chveis, a button falls off. Am I allowed to attach the button again? Of course I am. Right? That's fixing. Fixing, repairing, is different than making. That's the approach of the Beis Yosef. And therefore the Beis Yosef says that the Rav Yah only permits what he calls a melacha gemura. Right? The prohibition is only melacha gemura. Something that's not melacha gemura, it's going to be permitted. That's the way the Beis Yosef says it. What?
Does this concept of Malacha Gemura appear in other contexts in Torah?
Not that I'm aware of. But this takes us back to what we said a few minutes ago, that maybe Erev Pesach after Chatzos is more lenient than even Chol HaMoed.
Right, I'm just trying to understand what qualifies as a Malacha
Gemura. Would be a malach on Shabbos, right? I don't know. I mean, apparently, I would say it's perception. People look at making a suit as more of a significant act than repairing a suit. I think that's what the Beis Yosef is getting at. You know, and the difficulty within the Beis Yosef is also that kosev sfarim, writing books, that's not malacha gemura. The same Rav Yah who permits me mitakein my suit permits kosev sfarim. Why is that? Well, Beis Yosef says it's not malacha gemura. Why is it not malacha gemura? So maybe it means I'm adding a few sentences to my notes. I'm not writing a book from scratch. It is a little bit difficult, no?
It could be that it's like going to work, what we would call going to work. You're opening the shop,
sheep
or something like that, you're doing your own business. But to prepare for the Yom Tov, I think it's hard to say that if you're doing a Vada Malacha like on Shabbos.
So you're suggesting that what the ravya means, and I think this is what Lev was suggesting also, is that to prepare for Yontif is okay. But, again, it could be, but I don't know anyone who gives those explanations. The second explanation that I'm aware of is that I'm allowed to do work for myself, but I can't do work for you. It's similar to what you're suggesting, but it's different, no? If I'm fixing my suit, and that's what the Chok Yaakov at the bottom of the page says. Chok Yaakov is the Reish HaRav. He writes, he quotes in the Beis Yosef, quotes from Magen Avraham, etc. And then he writes at the two lines of the bottom, V'harei im efshelo l'saper atzmo, it's mutter. If I could cut my own hair, that would be permitted. Now, I've tried this as a kid. I was like 3 years old. I think every three-year-old has a stage when they try it, no? That you try to cut your own hair and then your mom gets really upset at you for some reason. But the Chok Yaakov is saying that the Isser Malach on Erev Pesach is I can't do work for you, but for myself it's mutter. So l'saper atzmo, if I'm doing it for me, myself, not to earn money, it's not, the distinction isn't whether I'm earning money or not earning money per se. The distinction is, am I doing it for me or for you? Right? That's what the Chok Yaakov says. If I do it for you, forbidden. If I do it for me, it's permitted. This is very important, no? It's very important. I'll tell you why. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky points out in his Sefer that we don't really pass on like the Chok Yaakov, l'chatzchila. But b'diyevet, you can rely on it. Meaning, melacha that's forbidden chol hamoed includes, let's say, doing laundry.
Yeah.
Right? You can't do laundry in chol hamoed, technically. Now, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, is chol hamoed. I can't do laundry. Oh my gosh. Right? Everything has to be done by 1 o'clock. It's such a crazy day. All the laundry has to be done. So the strict answer probably is yes. But if I didn't do my laundry at that point, can I do my laundry after Chatzos? This is not modern Orthodoxy. This is Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, Philadelphia, right? He says he thinks you can rely on the Chok Yaakov in the B'diyevet situation. Because if I'm doing the laundry for you, that's a problem. If I'm doing it for me, I have the Ravya, as understood by the Chok Yaakov, that molacha that I'm doing for me is permitted. Right? Similarly, shaving. Am I allowed to shave? Right? So again, the Chol HaMoed, right? Now, okay, I should mention, I shave on Chol HaMoed. Shaving on Chol HaMoed is absolutely mutter. That's because Rav Soloveitchik had a fancy shtickle Torah that we could explain that why shaving on Chol HaMoed is mutter. But according to the simple reading of the Gemara and the Halacha, and most people until Rav Soloveitchik came around, there's a nice book by Binayahu, by Meir Binayahu, called Taglachat B'Moed, called Shaving on Chol HaMoed. It's a historical book, it's an important book, etc. Halachically, it's perfectly mutter. I don't think I would shave a chol hamoed if I wouldn't think it's mutter. But the fact is, simple being a shulchan aruch is that you're not allowed to shave a chol hamoed. So does that mean, in those days, when I was still yeshivish, and I didn't shave a chol hamoed, so I would be careful to shave dafka before chatzos. I remember that same year that I flew to Toronto for Pesach with my parents, so I remember taking my shaver with me, and I shaved in the airport in the bathroom by the mirror. It's very hard to shave by bathroom. The mirrors are not so good in the bathrooms, no? Whatever. But that's a different story. But the fact is that I wanted to shave before Chatzos. Hey,
so you did. That's what would have kind of lost with your luggage.
That's also a good point. But the reality is, according to the Ravya, as understood by the Chok Yaakov, if I'm doing a melacha for me, that's going to be permitted after Chatzos. The prohibition is only to do a melacha for you. Good? So that is what I wanted to speak about in terms of doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, David and Lev. So we don't know what's called Malacha Gemurah, what's not called Malacha Gemurah. The Gemara in Daf Nun Hei Im Sachim gives a few examples. The Gemara says that laundry is called Malacha Gemurah. Yeah. The Gemara doesn't use exactly those terms, but it says that's the type of Malacha that would be forbidden in Erev Pesach. Let's say it like that. The assumption is that shaving is in the same category. In Chol HaMoed, we always equate shaving and laundry. Now, technically, shaving and laundry might not be malachos. You might be at, because the Gemara has a line that the reason why I'm supposed to not shave on Chol HaMoed is Shalai Yikonis Lerego Kshu Menuval. No? The Gemara doesn't ask her based on malacha on Chol HaMoed. That's what led to the Node of Yehuda and this whole fancy Torah and the Chsam Sefer. It's a great cheer to give, not for now. But the reality is that it's hard to understand why shaving would not be a malacha. I'll say it like that. Yes. The only thing I know that's not malacha gemura is fixing my suit. Is being metakein. If I work with malacha gemura, which is what Shulchan Aruch works with, if I work with malacha gemura, so I really have much less wiggle room for malacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Right? The chiddush that we're trying to bring up is that b'di'evad you can rely on this Rav Yaz, understood by the Chuk Yaakov, that if I'm doing it for myself, that's going to be permitted. Yeah.
In the modern era, at least in my case, work consists of sitting at a computer screen and tapping some keys.
Again, especially if we begin with the approach that we said before, that malacha on Chol HaMoed is because we want you to have simchas hachag. I know that when I have to answer emails and when I'm on call, I'm never fully relaxed. I can never open the... In all seriousness, the only time I can open the Gemara all week and really concentrate and get into it is Shabbos afternoon. Friday night, I'm too tired. Shabbos afternoon, because the rest of the week, I'm addicted to this little thing. And like, you know, it's not for better, but that's the reality. And I think in some ways that detracts from your Simchas HaYontiv. Now, again, that should probably mean that, according to our logic, that you shouldn't have your iPhones on Chol HaMoed. That's already a gezeira shein atzibui Chol Olamo, though. That's a serious matter.
They should be
shogeg
rather than
That's also something that we spoke about recently.
Isn't Chol HaMoed Pesach already the Sefirat Omer? So then there'd be another problem with shaving?
So Rav Soloveitchik was making one shaving both on Chol HaMoed and during Sefirat Omer.
Didn't he say
two different reasons.
Didn't he say that if you shave regularly every day that you could shave, but if you don't, then you can't?
So I gave Shurim about this in the past. There are different versions exactly of what the Rav said. Not for now.
Okay.
This should not surprise anyone that there are different versions of what Soloveitchik said. Okay, next. Other things that we don't do on Erev Pesach all day or after Chatzos, unclear. Eating. Oh, gosh. Eating. What do I mean?
Oh, you have to eat for the matzah.
Well, eating means a few things. Turn over the page. Asr lecho pas. Misha asiris ulamayla, kadesha yochal matzah latei avon. I can't eat bread from the 10th hour and on in order to eat matzah latei avon, to be satisfied. I'm allowed to eat a little bit of fruit or vegetables, avalo yamale kreis omehem, but I shouldn't fill up. Now, what this means is like this. The Mishnah tells us that being a perek arvei psachim, that arvei psachim sachal mincha lo yocha adam, I'm not supposed to eat Erev Pesach. Tosis asks Akasha, what am I not supposed to eat? Matzah. I can't eat matzah, Tosis says, from the Yerushalmi all day Erev Pesach. Why do I have to say Erev Pesach samach l'mincha? Near mincha time I can't eat. Right? I can't eat matzah all day. Because it's a Yerushalmi, which may or may not exist. Many Yerushalmis are not found in our editions of the Yerushalmi. But the Yerushalmi that's called by all the Rishonim says that ha'ochel matzah ve'erev Pesach ki'ilu bo'el arusaso b'veis chomif. It's as if you're having relations with your fiancé, the woman that you married but hasn't yet moved into your home, right, in the in-law's house. That's very bad. Right? Bo'el arusaso b'veis chomif is a bad thing. It happens that the Sefer Shibboleth Halakhot has a very interesting take on this idea. The difference between the arusa and the nesua halachically is sheva brachas, no? If you count the seder, you like this one, right? If you go through, what?
I think it might say the
Maaseh Rav. Oh yeah, it's on the same Shibboleth Halakhot, which Shibboleth Halakhot says that if you go through the seder, there are seven brachos that are recited before you get to Al Achilas Matzah, right? So therefore, if I have seven brachos, so that's my sheva brachos, and I become nesuin. By the way, this also speaks about the Seder night as a marriage between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That the sheva brachos that we make at the Seder, all those seven first brachos, the Kiddush, and the Borei Pri HaAdama and Karpas, and the Borei Pri HaGofen, the second coast, and the Bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, right, etc. And the Al Netilas Yadayim, I think I missed one or two. But all those brachos that we recite at the Seder are the Sheva brachos, which means this is entering a marriage between the Jewish people and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We think of Shavuos usually as being the marriage, but on a certain level, that's what's happening at the Seder also. So Tosfos asks the kasha, what am I not allowed to eat Erev Pesach near Mincha time? What is it I can't eat? Matzah I can't eat all day long? Right? So Tosfos says, you know what it means? It means I can't eat matzah ashira. It means I can't eat my egg matzahs. That's Tosfos' opinion. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnah has a different answer to this question. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnah says that, you know what you can't do Erev Pesach near Mincha time? You can't eat a big meal of fruit. Don't sit down, right, and eat a lot of food. You shouldn't do that.
If you go to a hotel,
they give you... these hotels, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's always, well, you can eat there. So huh? Then I can put out a small amount of food.
Everything. It's all you can eat. Like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can go to the tea room and you'll have... yeah. Whatever.
When you check in, there's a huge smorgasbord.
Yeah. I have to admit, I didn't mind it so much. I'm using the hotels for Pesach. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it's not as glorious as Mount Sinai. But the fact is, that's Tosfos' shita, that I can't eat matzah all day. Now, it happens that there's a machlokes harishonim about this Yerushalmi that says I shouldn't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. And if I eat matzah, what time of day does it become forbidden to eat matzah? There is a minog, someone mentioned this right at the beginning of the Chuk Yaakov. The Chuk Yaakov says that the minog is not to eat matzah from Chodesh Nisan onward. Some people begin at Purim time. There are different minhagim. All these things are in order to have, it's the same idea, to have a good taste of matzah, to enjoy it, a tchib of mitzvah, to enjoy it. But the strict halacha is a machlokes harishonim. The Baha Ma'ar is of the opinion that the only time you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach is Vav Sha'os. That is the time that there's a prohibition of chametz. It's basically midday on Erev Pesach, I can't eat matzah. In the morning, I could eat matzah. Ramban is of the opinion that the prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach also begins with chametz. But he says, no, don't think about the time when you can't own chametz. Think about the time they have to get rid of chametz. So the time you can't eat matzah is from the night before, from the time bedikas chametz, when you begin your process of getting rid of chametz. That's the Ramban. The Rambam has a very interesting approach. The Rambam says that the reason I don't eat matzah Erev Pesach is because of heker. I want to show that the matzah of mitzvah is different than the matzah beforehand. It's the same idea that we have that we blow shofar all the month of Elul, and we stop the day before Rosh Hashanah, no? Every Rosh Hashanah we stop. Why? Heker. I want to show that this is the shofar of mitzvah, right? This is the matzah of mitzvah. How do I show this is matzah mitzvah? I don't eat matzah beforehand. Right? That's what the Rambam's opinion. The Ramah Paskin is that all day we don't eat matzah. You can technically eat matzah the night before. But because come at night, according to the Ramah, you can eat matzah technically. Now, what type of matzah can I not eat? There's also machlokas harishonim. Let's say I have something that is technically chametz, right? You can buy boxes of not for Passover use matzah. No, you ever saw that stuff? Okay, the dirty little secret that I heard from a mashgiach is that someone Rabbi Sablowski's community decided to bake a cake on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, oh my gosh, with not for Passover use matzah meal. Oh my gosh, that's a serious shail of chametz. So it happens that the good news was that the type of not for Passover use matzah meal that she was using was really kosher l'Pesach. Why are they calling not for Passover use? And what are they thinking? Apparently they think it'll sell better. I don't know. I don't understand it, but whatever.
It's an honest mistake. Why would they do that?
What?
Why did that person do that?
It was an honest mistake. Notice they had two things of matzah meal and they baked a cake by mistake.
Oh, I see.
So now, the reality is that we have a prohibition of eating matzah, a real issue of eating matzah Erev Pesach. We don't eat matzah that you can use for a mitzvah. Matzah ashira, which I can't use for the mitzvah, grape juice matzah. I think now they make grape juice matzahs. Grape juice matzah, you're allowed to eat Erev Pesach, no? Because it's not matzah for the mitzvah. What about matzah that could be used for the mitzvah, I just didn't do it? For example, I think we spoke in the shiur last week or 2 weeks ago about lishma by matzah, no? Let's say I bake matzah, but I don't say l'shem matzah's mitzvah. So it's a regular matzah, it tastes exactly the same. Just I didn't say this is the matzah for the Seder. So is that matzah, am I allowed to eat that matzah? So the Maharsha points out in that first tesis in Perek Avrei Pesachim, Maharsha points out that's forbidden because it has exactly the same taste as matzah. As opposed to matzah shiva, that has a different taste. The exact permutations of what type of matzah you can't eat is complicated. Like if I eat a matzah meal cake, no? It was matzah beforehand, it had a din matzah. Then I add other stuff. It depends how much other stuff I add to it. It could be you're not supposed to eat it on Erev Pesach because that has the status of eating matzah. Okay, so that's the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is Erev Pesach. First of all, we don't do malacha. Second of all, we don't eat to our full content, right? We also don't eat matzah. There's another halacha about drinking wine on Erev Pesach, no? The din is that I'm not supposed to drink a little bit of wine, because if I drink a little bit of wine, that will fill me up, and I won't eat matzah l'teyavon. There's even an opinion in the Ramah, by the way, that you shouldn't eat the maror Erev Pesach. You shouldn't have salad Erev Pesach in the afternoon, because they should eat maror l'teyavon. No? Is that an interesting sheet of the Ramah?
Wasn't it the same?
So what can you eat, exactly?
Isn't that the same logic as karpas, not eating? You shouldn't eat a lot of karpas, because then you won't be...
I don't eat a lot of karpas usually, we assume, because there's a question whether I make a bracha achrona. I don't make a bracha achrona, so we try to eat only a tiny amount of karpas, so right. I don't have to make a bracha achrona. And that's a standard approach. But this idea of eating mara l'teyavon, usually l'teyavon I think means like with geschmack, right? What teyavon is it by mara? Mara is not supposed to taste good, right?
Horseradish is a big industry, right?
Gold horseradish, ding, right? But the fact is, but horseradish isn't myrrh.
It isn't.
What? A horseradish shoots on top might be myrrh. The root is probably not myrrh. Okay, I mean, but the plant itself might not be myrrh. I think I gave a shot to Golden Drush about this like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said anymore, but I could probably reconstruct it. The fact is that we're not supposed to eat Erev Pesach in order to eat matzah l'teyavon. Don't eat mar, you should eat mar l'teyavon. Don't drink a little bit of wine. A little bit of wine fills you up, and then you won't eat l'teyavon. If I want to drink a lot of wine, I can drink a lot of wine, because a lot of wine makes me want to eat more. So what's called drinking a lot of wine? 3 cups or more. So don't take a sip of wine. No, this is important, and people sometimes forget. Don't taste your wine Erev Pesach in the afternoon. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to take a little bit of wine. But if you're going to go, you got to go for it. Tachlis. Like 3 cups or more. Right? I can't imagine like what the Seder is like if you've already had like 6 cups beforehand. if you drink Concord Kal, it doesn't do anything. Yeah. So the Achronim discuss that grape juice qualifies also. I don't know the svara for this. I'm not sure, but they say we treat grape juice like wine. Yeah. Okay. So these are some of the dinim. Now the last din about Erev Pesach is of course the tainus. That's not a tainus, no. Tainus bechoros. So I have to admit, this is the first time in 13 years I'm off the hook, because I'm not a bechor, but my son is a bechor. So the last couple of years I would be on the hook. For Tainus Bechoros. Now he's over Bar Mitzvah. I told him, you got to go to the Siyum. I can be off this year. So 1 year it happened, I missed the Siyum. I missed the Siyum on Erev Pesach. And I thought, okay, I missed the Siyum, so I figured I'm going to fast. Like, why not? I missed the Siyum, I tried to fast. I started feeling so weak in the afternoon, so I said, you know, I got to eat something. I took out a Mishnayis. I learned a Masech the Mishnayis. The Achronim say that Siyum on Erev Pesach is a Masech the Mishnayis is also good. I made a Siyum, and I ate. Right? You don't have to have like a lot of people at your CM. A nice little CM. It's not such a big deal. Right? And right? Now, it's a little bit funny. Someone asked me a question. He said, one second. How come we don't do this like on Shivas and Ratamas? Yom Kippur. Right? Okay.
Right?
Well,
Nine days, you need meat.
Right, so we make a CM. So someone else pointed out to me that they've never seen a Milchik CM during the 9 days or a Fleishik CM in Erev Pesach. Right? That'd be interesting. Now you have a Fleishik CM in Erev Pesach. But this whole, where is this whole idea of the CM? So the answer basically is that the fast on Erev Pesach began because some of the Tanoim wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah properly, and they knew the only way they could fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah properly is if they would not eat anything. Just like we say you shouldn't eat a lot, they'd say, don't eat at all. Russian Express card, don't leave home. Don't eat anything. That's the basic idea. Now, the Maseches Sofrim quotes that the minhag is that the Bechoros fast on Erev Pesach. That's the minhag. But when the minhag ends up interfering with the real halacha, so we don't keep the minhag anymore, no? It's a fundamental idea. If I have a minhag, and that minhag day ends up interfering with halacha, for example, one of the more common shilas and hilchos nida that comes up is sometimes like these cases of orthodox infertility. Like there's an extra day that we tag on to hilchos nida, Trumas Hadeshen day. Sometimes if a woman's ovulation cycle is earlier, and that extra Trumas Hadeshen day means that the couple can't be together at a time that she become pregnant. So what we do is we say, no, we forget about that minhag day because the minhag is interfering with the real halacha. Whenever minhag interferes with real halacha, we say, sorry, minhag, go away. Right? So here also, right, the minhag of Tainis Bechoros was interfering with the real halacha because yarda chol shel olam, people got weaker. And because they got weaker, they weren't fulfilling the Seder properly. So you know what they did? They said, we can't just get rid of this minhag. It's a minhag. You can't just get rid of it. What we'll do is we'll make a siyum. Now, many poskim, the Noda Yehuda, really didn't like the siyum. Noda Yehuda didn't like even eating at a bris to get rid of the Tainis Bechoros. Now, the reason we didn't like eating at the bris is because the practice in Prague at his time was that they would have a baby, or they would delay the bris in order to have the bris on Erev Pesach. So then he's like, what, are you crazy? Right? The mila bismano is a real din, no? You chayev kareis. You chayev kareis. Either daddy's chayev kareis or the baby's chayev kareis. Machukas Rambam Ravid, however you understand that one. But you chayev kareis if you don't do mila bismano. It's really serious, no? So what, you're going to delay the bris in order to eat Erev Pesach? Right? So mila... So some of you got really, really upset about this. And he said, even siyum, nothing helps. Nothing helps. And his Talmud, the Tshuva Me'ahava, Reb Loza Fleckel, said, don't make siyum. So nice in the Sholom Meshiv, most poskim, they started making siyums. We know for the last 250, 300 years, we've been making siyums to get off Tainis Bechoros. That's what we do. There is a big machlekes ha-poskim, what's considered a Bechor for Tainis Bechoros. We're a little bit late, so we won't go into the details. The Mechaber writes, by the way, that women who are Bechoros fast, no? Ashkenazim don't do that. Even Sfaradim don't do that anymore. Right? Chacham Avad Yosef says that we never heard of this one, that women fast on Erev Pesach. But okay, Mamaisa, if you're a woman who's a Bechorah and a Sfaradiyah, so going to a Siyam is not such a big deal. It's a nice thing. You go to a Siyam and you eat some food. Thank you very much, and we should all just have a wonderful Yontiv and celebrate Erev Pesach as well as we possibly can. Yashikara.